3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Friday edition, the live from Associated Bank's Titletown branch edition. The Jordan Love, what are you doing here? Well, you're not really here. But we did have a nice conversation yesterday, and I learned that I'm really old once again. Edition. And of course, everything we have on our normal Fridays, Rob Domofsky, the weekend preview, which we did yesterday, our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week, our prize picks for the weekend, everything you've come to love about Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Although we're getting up to speed here in Green Bay. And of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Sorry, I lost you there.
Long pause.
Yeah.
Very pregnant pause.
Pregnant pause.
Very pregnant. That's a 9-monther, even though pregnancy is actually 10 months, I found out.
We'll have to ask Molly about that. She's up here with Jesse getting everything squared away. In the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, it is Riley Yauch. His skill with the quill is undeniable, and of course, the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How did the field goal go? I did not see anything posted, so is it that we've put it in the can? Did we not do it? How did Jesse do?
He has not done it. He has been working on the more important aspect of his job, which is making sure that we are on the air. So he's still efforting on that with some technical challenges that he's run into. But I brought the kicking holder thing. That, you know,
okay. Is that a digi? Are we going to digi only this during a break, or is that too far away?
No, I think that's the plan. So, for those that haven't been to Titletown before, it is, you know, as a resident of the greater Green Bay Metroplex, we love it. I mean, this used to be like a Kmart parking lot and a few other stores and stuff. And it is,
Jason,
really
I can tell you, this is just to give you a picture, because now fans that are going up there, you see the Kohler Lodge and you see all this cool stuff in the townhomes. I can remember a Monday night game where Cliffy and I were coming in and we were hungry. I don't know, because it was a Monday night game. We did a walkthrough and then we got to go home and then we'd come over to the stadium. And they would have food at the stadium, but I don't know if we were running late or whatever. And there was, I'm not going to tell you the name because it's not Cousins, but a sub shop within a gas station, literally right across the street from Lambeau. And we would pull in there, and then there was a burger joint that had Frisco burgers. I'm not going to tell you the name of that place either, but we'd grab that, breakfast sandwiches, And then there was a donut shop, which I can't remember what it was. Right next to that, it was a hodgepodge of just different things right next to Lambeau. And if you would be in a time warp and go back to 2000 to 2005 or 6 before they gutted everything, you would not believe what it looks like in comparison to that.
Well, and I had a buddy who owned the gas station that was here, which I won't name which gas station it was, as you like to say.
It wasn't a Quick Trip, or it probably would have stayed.
That's true. They would be actually smart to have one here by Title Town. They would do really well. But, you know, what I think is interesting is that it is, you can't even, again, like you said, for those of us that were here when it was something else, you just can't believe that what's here now used to be just a hodgepodge, like you put it, of different things. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, Matt LaFleur's parents live in one of the Title Town flats.
Like, what's the address of where LaFleur's parents live? I'd like to go stop over and say
hi. I don't know, but he did recently brag about that when they were discussing the fact that they love his younger brother more, allegedly. He made sure he pointed out that he had bought their home and moved them here to Green Bay. So, look, this is a really neat thing. I don't know. For our Milwaukee fans, for our Madison fans, for our Beaver Dam fans, how many come up here expressly to go to Title Town? But if you're up here to go to a game or you're up here for something else and you come to Title Town, you go on a tour at the stadium, you do your banking at the Associated Bank branch here at Title Town, it's a really neat place. And whether you're sledding down the hill like Mark Murphy or you're playing some shuffleboard or checking out the pumpkins that they've got out here today, it's a really neat thing that we get to have here in Green Bay. All right, so we've got a lot to do today, including having Andrew Corliss scheduled to appear a little bit later in the program. Also, we have our friend Rob Domofsky, who joins us every Friday. He's going to join us a little early. He's not going to meet us here, though, so I was a little bit disappointed. And he must have something else going on, but he is scheduled to appear coming up as well. And then, Tausch, you remember this. I used to annoy you from time to time to get you one-on-one because I had questions that I didn't want to ask in front of the group, right? And sure. So yesterday, you know, you and I and Jesse have been talking about the idea of Jordan Love kind of spreading his wings and having an opportunity to maybe do some things that he wouldn't have done in his first season as the starter. And I wanted to talk to him about that, but he had already done his group thing on Wednesday. And so I'm lucky that he and I have hit it off to the point that he's willing to stop.
Yeah, I mean, you put his trade demand out a couple years ago for him. Got that
I did,
ball.
That for him. That's right, yes. That's exactly what I did. I announced that he wanted to be traded if Aaron Rodgers came back or something close to that. But it was great to get a chance to talk to him one-on-one because I felt like an idiot because of how I started, and we'll play that a little bit later in the show. But it's always good when you have a theory about something and it turns out to be on point, right? And you certainly are right more often than I am. But the idea that he is pushing the envelope a little bit and doing things that he wouldn't have done during his first year as the starter, I just think that that's a really major step for him and his growth. And sometimes, as we've seen, it's not going to work out. But other times, as we've seen, the touchdown to Romeo Doubs that he probably shouldn't have thrown, but he has the gumption to do that now, or the throw into triple coverage that goes 61 yards in the air in L.A. to Jaden Reed, those are throws that I think he probably doesn't do a year ago, at least not at this time a year ago. And while they worked out and while they weren't necessarily graded high for decisions, how important is that? You obviously were not a quarterback, but you go through your first season as a starter. I know you had the injury a little bit later in your career, but how different was it in year two of being a starter in terms of comfort, in terms of being willing to maybe try some things that you normally weren't doing when you just wanted to do whatever they told you to do as a rookie? Is that something that every position goes through, or is it just especially for a quarterback?
Well, I think it's definitely more for a quarterback because you're in command of everything. But for me, it was just my voice. I felt more comfortable speaking. my first 5 months in Flanagan and Wall, and those guys will tell you they thought I was a mute, which I'm sure people that listen to this show are like, what the, huh? I just put my head down and said, I'm going to work. I wasn't going to, you know, ratchet any noise up. And then when I started playing, I felt a little more comfortable. But I always, young players, you have to show it. All the talk and everything else is just whatever. And then you get more comfortable. And it's not as if, oh, now I'm in year two, I can start jump setting more, or I'm going to do some different. I'm going to do what I do, and I just want to get better at it. So you do have, I think the big thing is, as you gain more confidence, you can have your voice not only in your room and with the team, but with coaches as well. You can have those conversations. Hey, this is what's happening. Let's think about doing this. Where when you're a rookie, you're just happy to be out there. You want to just get your job done. All of a sudden, year two and year three, you could say, well, hey, this three technique is playing hard across Marco's face. Let's start thinking about doing this, and then maybe I could turn back and we could cut off of this. You just start feeling more confident in your own, I guess, career that you can then say that. And I think for Jordan, there's no doubt. You've seen it. Last year, he wasn't letting it rip, and then LaFleur finally started letting it let it rip. And all of a sudden, he started believing more, and the Pittsburgh game is the one we always talk about. And now you're seeing, and coaches will always tell you, I would much rather have to rein people in than to have to bring down and, you know, really push. Mm-hmm. You want to slow people down and not have it where it's, oh, we got to keep pushing to get him to try new things and to grow. You want those self-motivating drivers, and at some point, maybe Matt LaFleur has had to say, all right, Jordan, I love your talent, I love your confidence, but you can't do that.
Right.
I'd much rather it be there than say, Jordan, you can't just be Charlie check down your whole career. You got to throw it into some of these tight windows. We want to win big. You got to make big plays. And I think that's where he's at. I'm guessing your conversation is going to probably be along those lines.
We will get to that conversation a little bit later in the show. We got Rob Domofsky coming up next. Tausch, lots of beautiful windows at Titletown. I'm guessing one or two might be from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, get if you want the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors, you better go with the great Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials gets tested. They open and close the doors and the latches and the shades tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors, innovative features like shades between the glass. And right now, it was zero interest for 36 months, and I called Gina, and I said, Gina, we got to crank this up. It's the holiday season. We got a lot going on. We got to go a little bit more. So Gina said, all right, Tausch, here it is. Through November 8th. Zero interest, nothing down. 36 months is child's play. We're going 60 months with zero interest and zero down. Certain restrictions do apply. Again, that's through November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com. You do have to have a minimum purchase of $3,500.
I didn't realize you had that kind of power. That's really interesting. Good to know.
Well,
I will make sure I stay on your good side.
You know how tight Gina. Gina and I are in good place.
I've got those roll screens within the windows. So I appreciate you making that easier for all of us to get. All right, Rob Domofsky live next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You know what that music means? I see Bruce Springsteen did a lengthy sit-down with George Stephanopoulos on my favorite morning show, Good Morning America. This is the Disney family. And here's the guy who's seen Springsteen how many times, Rob?
I think it's 24, 25, or 26, to be honest with you. I've kind of lost count. I do have a couple ticket stubs up on my wall here in my office, but it's in the mid-20s.
It is Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. All right, so you're an expert in music. You're an expert certainly in Springsteen, but you're really an expert when it comes to the Packers. What an interesting week we've had. And the kicking situation, you know, I don't want to tell Rich Bisaccia
how to address certain topics, but what's not to like was not probably the perfect phrase for Brandon McManus when he said it the other day. He was talking about football, but what do you think of the kicking carousel spinning now to the point that they have Brandon McManus, who's kicked in a Super Bowl, who's been in the league for a decade? Is this solving the problem?
Well, I mean, even Rich Bisaccia said yesterday that this is sort of a unique situation for him. He mentioned, I think it was a year that he had gone through like three long snappers with one of his stops. That was maybe Dallas. I can't remember which one he said. But, yeah, I mean, this is the thing that the Packers had successfully avoided and had worked purposefully to avoid a kicking carousel. And it's why they didn't release Mason Crosby after the 2012 season where he struggled, or 13. Mm-hmm. You know, because they didn't want to get on this this roller coaster of a ride. And I will say, though, that probably the best way to solve it is to do it with someone who's proven and has been, you know, under the fire in the arena as much as McManus has. And look, I mean, last year he was 30 of 37. That's right around the acceptable average. It's not unbelievable. That over 80%. Remember, Jace, used to be like, that was really good if you were a kicker. Mm-hmm. Now if you're 80%, you're like 25th in the league. Mm-hmm. He did make all 35 of his extra points last year in Jacksonville. I mean, we know that was a problem with Carlson last year. That was one of the things that actually wasn't a problem with Narveson. But I think it's given the situation and who was available, it's the best possible solution, bar, you know, forgetting for a minute the off-field stuff. That's a whole separate topic. But from a football standpoint, this was probably their best option. Whether it works out or not, we'll see.
Rob, how would you – because when we signed Rich Bisaccia, it was exalted. Oh, my God, we finally got this figured out. How would you grade him in his tenure so far with the Packers?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tausch, and I think we talked about this once before. I think there's two distinctly different elements to special teams. There's the 10 guys that cover and block and do all that stuff, and then there's the kicker. And they're so different that I've maintained this for a long, long time, that just because you're a good special teams coach in terms of devising schemes, blocking schemes, return schemes, coverage, doesn't mean you know anything about kicking a football. And I don't think, you know, I think maybe when we're judging Rich Bisaccia, we're judging him based on the kickers that Brian Gutekunst has given him. I think from a scheme standpoint, it seems like he's got good stuff. He's got a good returner, good returners, I guess. You know, there was a stretch where they had a bunch of penalties on special teams, and that seems like it's been a problem here that's recurred year after year. But I would say it's a B type of grade if I were to give his tenure an overall grade. I mean, they haven't been the most unbelievable special teams unit in the league, but I do think there was marked improvement over what they had the previous few coordinators.
I have no idea. You buy into the morning news guy, right? His rankings, you appreciate that. I don't think they've gotten that much better. As a matter of fact, the kicking game's gotten worse. He had a punter that he didn't like, and now he finally got Daniel Veland, but the kicking is a hot mess. He brought in Anders. You can say it's Goody's fault, and that's fair, but he didn't bring in Anders because they brought him in because old boy wanted him.
No, that's a great point. You're 100% right. He went to – he put his – you know, his he vouched for Carlson, put his neck on the
Stamped
line.
Him.
You're 100% right there, Tausch. So, but again,
I got to get in your. I need to get in Rob Domofsky's professor classes. You're giving out a B for that. I think I'm getting a lot of A's in the Rob Domofsky University.
I don't know if it still exists, but there used to be a website called Rate My Professor, and I remember looking at it one time because my wife was a college professor at one point, and I was scrolling through someone else's profile, and it was another teacher where she taught. It was like, take this guy, it's an easy A. So I guess that would be the right thing.
Talking with Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com, I would prefer that he wouldn't say over the air, you're 100% right, Tausch, because that becomes a clip then, and we don't want that circulating too often, but it does happen a lot. All right, Rob, let's talk a little bit about this matchup. Tausch got after me early in the week because I said that the Cardinals stink. And while they somehow found a way to beat the 49ers the previous week without their kicker, there was a missed kick in that game, I couldn't believe how bad they were. And I know the Packers had something to do with that on last Sunday, but now we have a true measuring stick game. You had a great question about Matt LaFleur's history with D'Amico Ryans. How do you view this game in terms of measuring sticks for whether the Green Bay Packers are good, very good, or a Super Bowl contender based on what happens on Sunday?
Yeah, I view it a lot like the Vikings game. And I think, I mean, not to get back to the kicking thing, but they win the Vikings game if Braden Arvidsson, you know, makes those two field goals that he misses. I realize things could have happened differently after those kicks. But I think it's another one of those games that, you know, that's going to tell us, you know, whether they can hang with some of the better teams in the league. I mean, if they lose it, is it a total disaster? No. It's how they play more than the result. I will say, you know, their four wins have been, Jason, against teams like you mentioned, Arizona, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Los Angeles. And every one of those teams was definitely deficient and lacking. However, I do think you have to give the Packers credit for winning those games under the circumstances with which they did. And obviously that was Malik Willis with two games against the two AFC South teams. And then, you know, the L.A. game was and really last week both had Romeo Doubs hanging over their head. So I do think you have to give them credit for, you know, how they handled those games. You can't control, you know, who you play and when you play them. So they did take care of business under some, you know, maybe less than ideal circumstances. But, you know, there's going to be some games here, you know, this week, obviously, and looking ahead a couple weeks to Detroit, or as Rich Versace even called, he used the Mike McCarthy and referred to him as Detroit. So maybe that's a generational thing, I thought it was a Pittsburgh thing. Maybe it's a generational thing. But no, I think we're going to find out a lot more about this football team between now and, you know, say the couple weeks after the bye, like the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Rob, the other thing that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if you're writing this for a little bit later, but you and I both took a real interest in the ball meetings concept that they have. And I loved Jeff Hafley. I wasn't trying to say that the title that he came up with for those meetings was lame, but he did offer me the opportunity to come up with something more creative for him. But
you choked, by the way. You came up with nothing.
I did.
What did he come up with? Did he not have anything, Rob?
I just continued with my question. I did not come up with you know.
You know what, Jason? We've been doing this show 9 years. You want to complain and bicker about a problem? Have a solution to it. What are you doing? And you knowingly asked that question. And I love the fact I like Hafley more now. He put it back on you, and Rob, he gagged. He didn't have anything.
Hey, in fairness, in fairness, yesterday, Bisaccia also thought he had me when I brought up McManus's accuracy from 50 yards out, and he came back with, "Well, what did you look up what he is from 50 in?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, yes," and I had that stat. So I was 1 for 2 yesterday. Let's get to the question I wanted to ask, though, Rob. They are taking the ball away at a rate not seen around here since before you were covering the team, the year before you got here in 97, in 96, they had 25 takeaways in the first six games.
Right.
It's not just the meetings, but it is a mentality. What is your takeaway from all the takeaways?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of the Super Bowl run in 2010. I mean, everybody, you know, wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers, and he was fantastic in several of those games. But, you know, in every one of those playoff games, there was at least one key takeaway, right? Tremont Williams in Philadelphia. Did Tremont get one in Atlanta, or was it Sam Shields?
Yeah,
there was
a Tremont had the touchdown right Atlanta half on the interception return. Yep.
Chicago BJ Raji, obviously, a big one. And then the Super Bowl, everybody remembers the Nick Collins. Like, to me, it sort of reminds me of that. And I know I've said this before, that defenses that rely on takeaways, it's a dangerous living, because when you get into the playoffs, you know, good teams don't turn the ball over. But obviously in that Super Bowl run, they're playing good playoff teams, and they did. So maybe it is sustainable. I've been, you know, like kind of collecting anecdotes on this whole ball meeting thing, starting with, you know, when Malik Willis took over from both from an offensive side of the ball. And I'm thinking, I'm sure you're writing it this week, and I'll look forward to reading it if I can get past
that. I wrote it today, but you don't pay to get behind the paywall, so I'll email you a copy.
I haven't tried to back my way into the State Journal paywall yet today, so I did learn.
Can we share really password? Rob, I can send you the password. I think we could share, right? Is that, this isn't,
it's like
Netflix,
a dollar for 6 months right now.
Yeah.
You guys suck.
I have a great hack for that, but that's for another. That's for a dark web show. But anyway, I actually did think it's really interesting. And if they get to the Super Bowl, like, I think that's going to be a real topic, like, down, you know, for playoff time. I will promote something that I'm writing that's going to run tomorrow, and that's all the incredible connections between Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, the Texan staff, and Green Bay. Bobby Slowick told a great story in Houston yesterday. I don't know if you guys talked about it. Dad was the defensive coordinator in 2024, was DB coach 2020 to 2023. And Bobby was talking about how passionate the fans were in Green Bay. And for the most part, it's great, except one game they were down big early and fans were just ripping the team and ripping the coaches. And he said he was an eighth grader, so it was probably 2020. He was an eighth grader, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he got up and left the stadium and walked a mile and a half home, his home on the west side of Green Bay. He went to Southwest High School. I thought that was hilarious.
Tausch, you were on those teams, right? So he was they fired Donatell after 4th and 26. That was the 2003 season.
Yep.
And then Slowick became the DC in 2004, but it was only 1 year for him too, right? He had been the DB coach
Bates, I think
that.
Jim Bates came in.
Yep.
And
yeah. Yeah, Slowick's year, they were 10-6, but lost to the Vikings at home in the playoffs, 31-17.
Yeah, we got Moon.
And honestly, that was Moon game. I don't remember a lot about that game. That was the Moon game. Okay.
That was Moon game.
But I actually exchanged some text messages with Bob Slowick Sr. this week. And believe it or not, he's still coaching.
Really? Oh, I believe it. Coaches got a coach now. Coaches got a coach. They can't stop.
70 years old, he's coaching. We couldn't talk on the phone because he was busy preparing for his big game with Calgary in the CFL. I think it's tonight. We just exchanged a few text messages. He gave me a couple quotes about Bobby and being in Green Bay. I think it'll be a fun little story for people.
Nice.
You know, who will read that hopefully tomorrow on ESPN.com.
All right, last one for me, Rob. Evan Williams. I think you guys missed the boat when it comes to stories this week, because that Evan Williams punch out, and maybe this is Jason, yeah. I didn't read your article yet, but that punch out was such an epitome of what this coaches and the teaching and what they're doing is, and maybe that's ball meetings that Jason couldn't rename, but he's got to play more, right? We're going to see these young guys, and we're going to see Cooper. What do you get from when you were talking to these guys? How do you see this kind of shake itself out?
I'm taking credit for Evan Williams, Tausch, and here's why. I say this tongue-in-cheek.
He's like Micah Hyde, is what I've been heard.
He didn't play a single snap in the Eagles game on defense, and that the next time we talked to Jeff Hafley, I was like, dude, Evan Williams.
He didn't
what's
say,
the deal?
Dude. Dude, get out. Get him out there, dude.
Yeah, I did not say. I said, does he need to play? And he said yes. He basically said it was a mistake, or he feels bad about it. And ever since then, Evan Williams has played a role. The one thing I like, Tausch, and I know this isn't maybe traditionally the way that coaches do it. I like the fact that they have these different packages, and it's not just when you go from base to nickel, you take one guy off and you put one guy in. There's different – like Eric Stokes plays in certain packages, doesn't play in the base, or whatever the case may be. I like the fact that Halfley's doing this, and you can do it when you've got enough guys –
you know, that can play. And right now they're healthy in that area. And it's only going to help them if they do end up with injuries, because they won't be throwing a guy in there who really hasn't played or has played a very small role. Evan Williams is the key to all that because he gives them so much flexibility. Javon Bullard, the same, being able to play deep safety or up near the ball. And I know Javon Bullard hasn't gotten the headlines maybe because he hasn't, you know, made the splash plays, but I think he's just as much a part of this. His versatility is huge too.
All right, Rob, we know you
Rob, thank you so much for getting Evan Williams out there. I don't think you're getting enough credit.
I don't either. I do what I can, Tausch. I'm just here to help.
That's all you
can
do. That's why you're the go-to the beat writers. That's why you're – ain't that right, Jason?
Oh, I'm back on top now, huh?
Okay. Yeah. The 4-11-1 Calgary Stampeders at the Hamilton Tiger Cats tonight.
It's a big one. That's a big one.
6 o'clock kickoff. Hamilton, a 4.5-point favorite.
Thanks, according to ESPN.
Wow.
All right, Rob, we know you got some other stuff going on today. We appreciate you making time for us. And right. How lucky – who's got it better than me – to have two friends like the two of you in my life. With as Nemo might say, with friends like you, who needs enemies? All right, boys. Rob, we appreciate you. Have a great day. I'll see you later.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
That is Rob Domofsky. He, believe it or not, he is as good as it gets on our beat. There is nobody better, and we're lucky to have him as part of our show each week. Tausch, we're also lucky to have a great partnership with American Family Insurance.
We do. And Jason, I'm going to put you in a call to action, not only to get to go to amfam.com/Packers to get this great stuff, but also put out on Twitter and all the social medias, help you do your job. Ball meetings. What names can we come up that are better? Please. Packer fans looking for the ultimate game day experience? Well, American Family Insurance, they have you covered. Picture this. Hit your very own VIP tailgate and then cheer on the pack from jaw-dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, private tailgate, Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. Don't miss out. Hit amfam.com/Packers to enter. Time is running out. You have until 11:59 Central Time, so that's 10:59 Mountain Time, on October 21st to get this done, to get down there for that great weekend game. Again, amfam.com/Packers. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
We roll on live from the Associated Bank Titletown branch. Come on in. There's plenty of seats available. We'd love to see you if you're in Green Bay. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around. On Monday, not a sound. On Wednesday, might get loud. On Friday, continuing live from the Associated Bank Titletown branch here in Green Bay. Jesse, there's rumors they're going to put us up on a big screen television in here.
That's going to be fun.
Great,
Jumbotron.
Great for you since you look so svelte nowadays.
That's what I hear.
Is there food up there?
Admire yourself.
Can someone explain Jesse's rationale for going on remotes? Because is there food? That typically is what drives.
I'm not really sure what he's doing here.
I'm told there are snacks and beverages available.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is. All right.
Tausch, I want to get back to, and we'll have the clip of my opportunity, missed opportunity to rename the ball meetings a little bit later in the show.
Big miss.
But when you look at what this team is doing, when Rob says his theory about, well, you can't live like that because when you get to the playoffs, teams, good teams don't turn it over as frequently. A, do you buy that? And B, how sustainable do you think this is? Especially, as you pointed out, with guys like Evan Williams, who, much like Micah Hyde, seems to have a knack for getting turnovers.
You can, but you still need to have someone that can play the quarterback position and move the football. So in a perfect world, and this is what we've seen, you have a quarterback that you have confidence in that can go get points, and then you add that pressure to an opposing team, that helps you create turnovers. That's what, when the Ravens did what they did with Trent Dilfer, was so impressive, because other teams are looking at it and saying, well, just don't turn it over and we're going to be in these games because their offense stinks. Well, you couldn't do that with Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do that with Aaron Rodgers. And you're certainly not going to do that now if we saw, again, I know you guys all poo-poo that Arizona game, but the offense is starting to come around. and you're seeing more guys get involved, the run game, the O-line, Jordan, the receivers, the tight end, it puts more pressure on you as an opponent that you have to do things, and that's when you start getting a little loose with the football, and you get a little opportunistic on the defensive side of the ball. The problem is the Chicago Bears have tried to live that way,
right,
for years, and they'll have seasons where they catch fire and they create a ton of turnovers. And, you know, 2010, their offense wasn't any good, but they created a ton of turnovers, and then their special teams, and you start believing that you're going to win games that way, and you do. Bill Belichick would always say, you know, most of these games aren't won in the NFL, they're lost. That's the case if you have a quarterback or you don't have that guy. You go try to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and just don't make a mistake, you ain't going to beat them. The big boys in this league have it both. That's why they win consistently. And if you can mix in what we've seen so far from Green Bay's defense and the way they're creating turnovers, you're not going to have three a game, even though it seems like that's what we're getting.
Sure.
That will not continue. But if you get one or two, that's all you really need if you have an offense that you feel really good about. And I think we do. So I'm not as worried about that. I don't want to be the Bears or the Ravens where it all comes down to, not in today's day and age. It's too easy to score and to put points up. If you're banking on getting 3 to 4 turnovers a game, you're going to be sorely disappointed come playoff time.
So I always think back to this, and we're 6 games in as opposed to 1 game in that time. But if you remember in 2018, the game where Rodgers comes back from the knee injury and they come back to win, I believe that's also the game where afterward he says, we've got a defense. And he's talking about Mike Pettine and how things have changed on the defensive side of the ball. As it turned out, the defense was okay. It wasn't great. I'm curious, with 6 games in now with Jeff Hafley and with the takeaways and with the arrow pointing in a very positive direction, how on board are you with him, aside from him getting after me yesterday in the presser, which I know raised your opinion of him?
I love his approach. I love the talent that Goody has put around it. I know you could say pass rush, and I'm not going to fight you on that. But I'm telling you that just watching Evan Williams last week punch that football out, and the fact that Xavier McKinney has done what Xavier McKinney is a difference maker. He's changed a lot. Jeff Hafley could have the greatest schemes of all, but if you have a safety that's a step slow or that doesn't read things and have the instincts, I don't know how much different it's going to be. I like Jeff Hafley. I think his approach and how he answers questions and gets after you, that's all great. But he's got his guys believing. That's what coaching is. Get guys to have belief in your scheme and then have success with it and then grow from there. This defense is going to get better. It's young. It's physical. You're not seeing as much sit back and react. You're seeing, let's go get it. And when you have players, I think Cooper is going to continue to play. He is going to be a difference maker. You're starting to see difference makers. Now we need more up front. We need more people being hectic and making a lot of noise up front. We haven't seen that to the degree that I'd like. There's reasons and excuses for that. That's the one part of this that I think we need to see more of. And to Jeff Hafley's credit, he's not just sitting back and saying, hey, fellas, win. Any coach can say that. He's mixing. He's bringing Nixon off the edge, and they're making plays.
We're rhyming again, and we're going to Piscataway.
The rest of it. But you saw that. You see Edger and Cooper doing things. He's not just sitting back and saying, he's also putting different packages together, giving guys different roles. I love that this defense is just getting started. Some would say the wheels are on the road on I-65, and they're just trying to get moving.
Maybe not all the way to I-65 yet, but I know that the good thing about being on the road when you're in the state of Wisconsin is that you can stop at your local Quick Trip.
Oh, and you can get that box. I don't know if we have that up, Jesse. I know you probably can't. The Glazer box. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow, 8 a.m., go up to your local Quick Trip. You get the box, the big old tin. It's beautiful.
Tin.
And it is Packer season. Enter today for great prizes all season long. Only with the Quick Reward Zone from Quick Trip, you can win a 2024 Chevy Traverse Z71, an Aaron snowblower, Packer game tickets, and more. All the things that we love here on Wilde and Towson. Entering is easy. Use your Quick Rewards when making purchases at Quick Trip, and you'll earn a Fan Zone point for every buck that you spend at Quick Trip. Every dollar. Just stop and get some Glazers, some Dunkers, get a little Nature's Touch milk on a weekend morning, get a coffee, whatever it might be. Fan Zone points, bam, enter it in. And then you get a chance through October 31st. One winner gets 18 tickets to a Packers private suite experience for the November 24th game at 325 against the Niners. Start spending today with all those Packers Zone prizes. Download the Quick Rewards app in your app store. Visit quicktrip.com/fanzone for full details. Again, Jesse, get that tin up there. Put that big, beautiful tin up there. You can get that. They put you a little box of Glazers in there. It's a great little deal. Good little Christmas gift, little Thanksgiving gift, whatever it might be. Or you can get a bunch of chocolates and store it at that 60 to 70 degrees and keep it there for 2-3 years.
There you go.
All kinds of options. Couple of extra Karuba coffees after pickleball this morning?
Actually, yes. Can you tell?
Yes, I can.
It'll be a long ride for LePe this afternoon.
On your way
maybe
to
even have to stop.
I feel fantastic.
Might have to make a stop on the way.
We love your energy. We wish you were here. We are at Titletown at the Associated Bank branch, but it's not branches that make a bank local. It's their roots, and their roots are obviously here in Green Bay. We'll have our green and gold game preview next. It's Wilde and Tausch. As we roll on live from the Titletown branch of Associated Bank, come on by if you're in Green Bay.
When are we doing the field goal contest?
Well,
warm up properly.
Yeah, you better start stretching.
Uh-huh.
So I know you and Molly did a great job of getting us on the air and bringing all this great equipment, but you were kind of talking big about your field goal kicking exploits, and if I hadn't brought a ball from home, you would have not been able to show, you know, Greg the leg or Jesse the leg live from Titletown. So what are we, what is our plan there? Are you going to go during one of our longer commercial breaks and kick?
I could leave the show at any point to go kick, but I thought you were
Well, you could definitely leave the show at any point.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to be my holder yet? Do you want to Do you want to witness the experience?
No, I'll ask somebody else, but I did bring Mason Crosby gave me this.
That's fun.
It's a holding mechanism there.
Wow.
So I don't even have to be involved, so I don't have to do Lucy to your Charlie Brown and pull the ball away as you're approaching it. Tausch, you're missing
really
out.
Are you afraid?
No, I'm not afraid.
That he'll kick your fingers?
I'm not afraid. No, I'm not. Somebody's got to do the radio show.
Be not afraid
to hold the ball when Jesse kicks wide. Like Narveson. All right, time now for our green and gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the green and gold game preview.
It is the Green Bay Packers and the Houston Texans meeting for a noon kickoff Sunday at beautiful Lambeau Field, just over the street here as we sit at the Associated Bank in Titletown. Guys, the Packers are listed as 2.5-point favorites, according to ESPN Bet. Tausch, what is the big storyline heading into Sunday's contest with Nance and Romo on the call?
Stroud v. Love. Same trajectory. I know Jordan's older. Second-year starters. Everybody kind of anoints these two. We went through yesterday or Wednesday of everybody that's 26 and under, and these are the two guys. As we sit here today, that I think everybody's excited. But Jaden Daniels is right there, but he's still young and has not had the, I guess, at least a full season to look at. The trajectory here is Houston's a really good football team. What they were able to do last season was remarkable. Remarkable. Houston stunk. They were dead. And now they're one of the top four or five teams in the AFC. The Packers and Jordan Love, what a great turnaround last season. Now we get a good look at both. And I think it's a marker game for both of these quarterbacks, even though I'm not going to panic city if it's a sour day on Sunday. I'm not panicking. But it will be a great litmus test, I think, for both and to see where both quarterbacks are. I hope to see a duel. I hope to see the battle. What is it called? The winter whiteout, whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, winter warning.
I'm all on board. Winter warning. Warning, I think whoever can emerge from this is warning, hey, I'm taking this league over. I am coming for y'all. Whoever can pull this off on Sunday.
Since Tausch took the low-hanging fruits of the quarterback matchup, you know, I love it when Matt LaFleur shows some personality with us. And he didn't early in his career, but he's gotten to be more and more that way. But his line after the game against the Cardinals about his guy, Jordan Love, being able to bake a pizza back there, he had so much time to throw, I thought was great. And he had that because of the unsung heroes of that offensive line. They're rotating Jordan Morgan back in now. Even though Sean Ryan has done nothing that would mean that he shouldn't be a full-time starter, they lost Josh Myers to a stinger, and he wasn't able to finish the game. They just shift Elton over, and off they go. This will be a defensive line and a pass rush that will challenge them. I think the storyline is, can that group hold up against the Andersons and the Danielle Hunters that they're going to bring at them? And if they can, then they're going to give Jordan Love enough time to play at the level that Tausch expects him to in this game.
Now, I don't know if baking a pizza pie, you see these, like, there's some hot, cold, like, it happens quick now.
Yeah.
Why not go through baking a pie? Because if you're
blueberry.
Baking a blueberry pie, you're going to have
That's
to
coming.
Be there for a while. You're going to, it
feel
takes
like,
a while.
Now, wait a minute now. I don't know, what? Like, if you've got, like, one of those Back to the Future type pizza things, and Back to the Future 2, has anybody seen that, where the
yep.
pizza just, you know,
boop, boop.
No? Okay. No, I knew Riley would not get yeah. that reference because he's, like, 12. But when you go to, a stone-fired pizza place like Rustique here in Green Bay, it still takes them 15 minutes for your pizza to be made. That's a long time for a quarterback to have to throw.
Yeah, you can go to a chain place, and I'm not going to give. I'm a Pizza Hut guy. I'm Pizza Hut. So I'm not going to give all that.
Just because of the reading program.
But what I will say is you can find places that will get you a pizza pie in 2 to 3 minutes. Which, by the way, in NFL terms, that's a long time. I don't want to poo-poo it. But
no,
I'm saying
poo-poo.
You're doing an analogy, and you're really wanting to let people know he's sitting back there smelling the roses. Throw yourself a blueberry pie. It takes, you know, to get it real nice and piping hot, which is what you want, to put it on the windowsill and let those little steams. That, to me, paints a better picture than, you know, firing a quick pizza pie at somebody.
Let's continue with the green and gold game preview, shall we?
You go to Pizza Hut, get those My Hut boxes. You get the little pizza and wings.
I've heard that.
The combo game.
I've heard that.
The Pizza Hut wings are really good, too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Besides Jordan Love and the low-hanging
nobody
fruit
out
that
pizza's
Tausch
the hut.
Out,
that's what I've been told.
No
that's what they say.
The hut, yeah. Fantastic. Besides Jordan Love, who is most important, Tausch, for the Packers to have success against the Texans on Sunday?
Zach Tom. Big test for my guy, Zach Tom. Will Anderson's a stud. Those two are going to battle. And I don't know if they want to swap out and Danielle Hunter or whatever. This is going to be a big boy game. And I think for as much as I was throwing flowers at Penei Sewell, and he deserves it, he's a stud. Zach Tom, as we said with Blue, he's knocking. These are the games that you go from being a nice player that local media and people that are really dialed in understand how good a player you are. If they flex it and get it into the 7:30 window, it'd be bigger. And Collinsworth, you know, talking Pro Football Focus, blah, 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 blah. But you got Jimmy, you got Tony, you got Tracy. They're all going to be there. That battle will be highlighted. And if old boy, old 5-0, puts himself together a nice game, You're going to start hearing more and more about ZT shutting down WA.
I'm going to go with Christian Watson, who I love the fact that they pulled out of mothballs a play that they had a few weeks ago for the Vikings that they didn't get to because of Christian Watson's ankle injury late in the first quarter. And they say, hey, the way they're playing me when I line up, they're not respecting the deep speed. Let's pull out that play from the Vikings game. They did it. He cooks Buda Baker, and they get a big touchdown. I think he's going to, you know, he's another week removed from that ankle injury he suffered against the Vikings. I think this is a game where you could see him have one of those big performances and have people get really excited about what he gives them in terms of his entire game, not just the deep ball, but
even Jesse,
the deep
who
well.
Said he's just a bit player and doesn't
he
even need to be
here. He
also
might not play and they'll still win and be just fine.
Haters gonna hate, man. Alan, if Romeo Doubs is Alan Lazard in your book, does that make Christian Watson MVS in your book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Let me tell you something. Your book needs to be burned.
All right, last question.
Your book is really dumb.
More and more right by the week this season with my predictions. Speaking of predictions, the Packers beat the Texans on Sunday at Lambeau Field. Tausch, if...
turnovers.
They play better than the Texans.
Really? Today's the day you're going to go if they play better than the Texans? You're going to bring that out today of all days to just go,
they're going to beat the Texans if they play better?
Romo's there. Nance is there. Tracy's there.
One of the biggest games of the year, and you're going to go, if they play better?
I think this is going to be a game of big plays. And Green Bay with Christian Watson, with Romeo, with Jaden, who has more explosives? I think the Texans, they are sitting there, and it's explosive city. They have wideouts everywhere, and I know their big play guy is not playing. But they still got Stephon Diggs. There's still other players. You limit them. You make them do the methodical deal, you're beating the Houston Texans. You make them churn and burn, you're beating the Houston Texans. They don't get explosives. They ain't walking out of Lambeau with a dub. Limit the explosives. You, on the other hand, flip that script. That is what this game is going to be about to me.
And playing better than the Texans. Tausch, what's the best way to combat a strong pass rush?
A good run game.
Josh Jacobs and the Packers run game, I'm going to go with. If they are productive, they, as Tausch so astutely pointed out from the Arizona game, it was a grind on the run. They ended up with 179 yards, but it took them 38 carries, and the average wasn't great for their lead back. Your guy, Emmanuel Wilson, had some pretty good average numbers for his carries, but I think if they can run the ball effectively, which that is not the Texans' best quality defensively, if they can do that, then they can slow down the pass rush, excuse me, give Jordan Love some time to throw the football, and take a little bit of pressure off that offensive line having to stop Anderson and Danielle Hunter. All right, that is our green and gold game preview. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour momentarily here live from the Titletown branch of Associated Bank, but not until Tausch tells us about Coors Light.
Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And it's going to be in the 70s again. Jesse, you go make a kick. Grab yourself a Coors Light today. Have it cold, activated bottles and cans. Make sure they're blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.